daughter,
a four-week series on home. You might have remembered the first one. Do you remember the first service that we had about home and who led it? We did do the Lego. Well done, Lila. Yeah, we had it as coffee style. That's right. Derek led it. We were thinking about house and home. What was the difference between a house and a home? What does God think of a broken home? All those different questions. Then the second week, can you remember what that one was?
Beryl,
that's right. And that was, what kind of a service did that major on? It was prayer, wasn't it? We were thinking about different kinds of prayer and thinking, do you remember you had a little card cut out in the shape of a house and you had to do the entrance and the door on it and then you lifted it up and then things in the living room, and we were thinking about things that we had to lay down and things that we had to deal with and what have you. Meditation, releasing things to God, that's right. The third week, heavenly home, that was last week. Paul already given you a clue for that, thinking about heaven being our eternal home. And so today's the fourth week and concludes this series. And we think about the church being the spiritual home for the community. Now, I don't know about you, but during this series, there's been lots of things that I've seen about home. Derek had been out and found that thing at the top on home in one of his charity shops. And, of course, Elizabeth's done the display for us that's been there during all the series. The house at the bottom, as Lila said, is the one that was made in the service. But I was out and about the other day and I found this. And I thought, oh, that looks nice. And on the back of it, because it's got chocolate inside it, it says, "It takes hands to build a house, but only hearts can build a home." And of course it's a little heart on it there as well. So if anybody's looking for a present for Valentine's Day, I'm open to offers. I haven't had the chocolate out of it. So it takes hands to build a house, but only hearts can build a home. Put that over there to remind us. For Roman Road to be a spiritual home rather than simply a building that we know as God's house, then it requires our hearts to be given over to the Lordship of Christ. It's easy for us to build a building. It's much more difficult for us to create a spiritual home. We each chose the themes that we would take in this series, and I chose this theme because I believe passionately in it. It's the focus of our prayer meetings, it's behind the life on the frontline teaching, and also the reading a book of the Bible a month challenge. It's in line with both the past and present Presidents of Connections theme. And I believe it's the way forward that God has directed and called us to. Being the people that God has made us and called us to be, reflecting God's love in a broken world and community in particular, sharing the truth we have about Jesus, loving and caring for others, demonstrating our faith in action, these are the things that we are about. And if these things are not in your heart, not in your mind, not even maybe on your radar, then I would suggest that you seriously ask God where it is that he wants you to be. Because this is where Roman Road is going, and this is what we will be seeking. And most importantly of all, this is where we are following God's leading and guiding. It's not my agenda. This is God's agenda. So let's have a look at how it all begins to pan out. And I encourage you to turn in your Bibles with me to look at Paul's letter to the church in Colossae, and this morning we're looking particularly at Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 to 6. Colossians chapter 4, and just those few verses there, beginning to read at verse 2 through to verse 6. The chapter number is Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 to 6. In the NIV Pew ones, it's page 1184. but it might be a bit different in some others. 1119 in some, yeah. It's a bit further on Colossians after Galatians. You've got Ephesians, and then you've got Philippians, and then you come to Colossians. Chapter 4. Okay. Yep. Chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, beginning to read at verse 2. In the NIV, it's subheaded Further Instructions. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Derek finished his thoughts as each group made a wall. You remember he had a different subject for each wall. And then it was all covered with the roof. And he was talking about the roof being prayer. Today we begin with thinking about prayer. In that first verse there, verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Continue praying, keeping alert, and always thanking God. This has to be our starting point. Prayer, communication with God. Because without him we are nothing and we'll never be able to build anything. I suppose this is why I constantly go on about the prayer meeting. The need for us to meet together to pray. In her service, Beryl spoke about prayer being like the engine room, the place where the power came from. The power that we're talking about, of course, is the Holy Spirit power. And we're totally reliant on him, just as Jesus was in the time when Jesus walked on earth. Jesus was totally reliant upon the Spirit to lead him, to guide him. And each of us are called to pray regularly, unceasingly, at all times and in all situations. God calls us to be alert, to be watchful, to look in our own lives and see the ways that God is at work, the things that he's doing in our lives, in the lives of others. But not only what Jesus is doing, because we should also be aware of the enemy who prowls around like a roaring lion seeking to devour people. We need to be careful, to be alert, to be watchful for one another, to pray for one another. How can we share Jesus with others if we don't recognize him at work in our own lives? So how much time do we put into getting alongside others who meet with us week by week? We're all good at talking to those that we know. We're all good at sitting with people that we know and then going for coffee with people that we know and chatting. But what about people that we don't know and yet we see week by week? Do we know their names? Do we know their family? What do we know about them? God calls us to love one another, and that means the whole body, not just part of it. And each one of us is an essential part of this body, the local body of Christ. To work effectively as God intends the body to work requires that each one of us use our God-given talents and giftings to be obedient to his call. Never ever think that you are not important. Never ever think that it doesn't matter if you aren't here. Never ever think that we can manage without you. Each person is precious. Each person is precious to God, but each person is precious within his church. And each one has a part to play within that. We have giftings, we have different aspects of our personality that we bring that makes the church the body that it is. And each one is necessary. Just as if, you know, you can't use your hand, you know how it disables the rest of your body. Especially if you're like me and you use your hands to speak. I find it very difficult with one behind your back. But that's how it is if part of the body is missing. We've got a number of people missing today due to sickness. Have you thought about how much sickness has affected this fellowship this year? As we begin to move forward with God, then the enemy seeks to take back the ground. We need to be alert. We need to be praying for one another. We need to be caring for one another. And we need to be working together. Paul was asking the Colossians to pray for him, that God would open a door for him to proclaim the message of Jesus, and also that he would proclaim it clearly. Pray for us that God may open a door for our message so that we can proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I'm in chains, because at this point Paul was, of course, in prison, and pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Now, this is Paul who's writing this, the greatest apostle, the orator, the teacher, the best that there ever was, and he was asking people to pray for him. Now, if he needed prayer, how much more do we need prayer? And so that follows on the question, do we pray for our ministers? Do we pray for the children's teachers? Do we pray for the Bible group leaders? That they may share the message as it should be. And it's hard, week after week after week, producing things to make them exciting and interesting and innovative, and for the children, something that they want to interact with. And that takes a lot out of people. We need to pray for one another that God will continue his work to refresh, to renew, to inspire. Do we pray for others day by day? A while back now we did This Time Tomorrow. People came out and said what they did at work, or what they did during the week anyway, and certainly what they were doing this time tomorrow. And that was a means that we got to know people a bit more so we could pray more effectively for them. I wonder how many are you still praying for now in the situations that they shared with? It's a joint calling, this prayer. It's not down to a few people. As I said last week, you can't leave it to the elder, to the leaders, even to the prayer group. Pray that there will be opportunities to share the gospel for us all. Not just a few, but for all of us. And then, when the opportunities arise, we are to make the most of each one. And to be wise in the way that we conduct ourselves with those who are not in the kingdom of God. Wisdom in the Old Testament comes from a word that means that's used for skill. And the way to become skilled is to learn and then to put into practice what we have learned. That's how you become skilled in something. You can know everything about a subject. You know, you can read every book that there is on baking, but until you actually come to do it, you won't be skilled in it. You can read everything that there is about sailing a boat, but until you come to do it, you don't become skilled in it. And there's all sorts of examples in that. Paul is meaning that we are to learn how we should live. And this comes back to reading the scriptures and being obedient to them. This is why reading a book of the Bible a month is so vitally important. We need to be a people of the word. We need to know what is in God's word. It's no good just coming along on a Sunday and listening to sermons and thinking that we'll learn it all. You have 20 minutes on a Sunday morning, and you might have 4 or 5, maybe 10, at the most a chapter that is written. And yet, there are 66 books in here. How are we to know them unless we take the time to read them? We might read them and not understand them, but that's what Bible classes are for. That's why we have ministers who you can ask questions for. That's why there are all sorts of books available in the church library that if you wanted and you preferred to do things on your own, you can go and have a look at. But we need to learn what God is saying to us, and we need to learn what his word particularly is saying to us. So what does the word tell us of how we are to be with others? If I were to ask you for an example this morning, can you give me an example in the Bible where Jesus tells us how we are to be with each other? I wonder what example you would give. If you're anything like me, your mind will have frozen now. You'll be thinking, oh, I hope you didn't ask me. I'm not going to do that. But, you know, one day somebody might ask you, and what would your response be? You know, we should always be ready to give a response to others. And that's what life on the front line helped people to do, to think about their responses to other people and how they would say. We will only do this through hard work and determination. Kingdom living isn't for the faint-hearted. It's a hard slog. We're in it for the long haul. And there will be opposition. There will be hardships and difficulties. I've said it on many previous occasions. I'm sure I'll say it again. Jesus does not offer us a bed of roses, but the rewards are out of this world, as Paul was sharing last week. When there is opposition, how are we to act? When people are cruel to us, when they say nasty things to us, what is our reaction to be? We are to remain loving, caring, humble, kind, gentle, reflecting the fruit of the Spirit, showing love and patience in our lives. This is the fruit of the Spirit. We need the Spirit in our lives to be able to do and live as God calls us to do. We won't be those things in our own strength. We cannot always be those things. Yeah, we might be loving and caring and gentle and kind when everything's going right, but when there are problems and difficulties, it's really hard in our own strength. That's not our natural response. We need God's Spirit to change us, to transform us, and it's the fruit of his life that shines through us. And that is what people see, and that is what points people to Jesus. And it's still not easy. But know this, the world judges Christianity by what it sees in us. So if we come out with a mouthful, or if we're angry, or we're bad-tempered, what is that saying about Jesus to a world who don't know him? We are watched, especially if people know that you are a Christian. You are particularly watched. And this is why it's so important that how we are at church is how we are at home, in the office, on the shop floor, in the long queue at the checkout. Wherever we are, we're to be that salt and light that God has called us to be. I've already said that we're to make the most of every opportunity. Actually, that translation means literally buying up the opportunity. You know, when there's a good sale on down at Tesco's and they've got things going at 10p or whatever, and they just fly off the shelves, don't they? Because we buy them up and we stockpile them. Well, it's that kind of idea of buying them up, making the most of every opportunity. And that's how we should be when an opportunity presents itself for us, making the most of it. I expect we can all recount times when we haven't, or we've missed an opportunity to witness for Jesus, thought afterwards, if only I'd said this, or I should have said that. But my guess is that there are countless numbers of times that we haven't even been aware that we've missed an opportunity. And that's why we're called to remain alert. And finally, our conversation is to be full of grace and seasoned with salt. You see, it's not just walking the walk, it's talking the talk as well. Neither of them are any good without the other. If you talk the talk, but you don't walk the walk, then we will be considered, and indeed we are, a hypocrite. If we say one thing and we do something completely different, then we're being a hypocrite. If we walk the walk, but we don't talk the talk, then we'll be considered a good person, a very moral person. Oh, they're really good. They're so good, you know. But people don't know where that goodness comes from if we're not talking the talk. We need both in our lives to be effective for Jesus and obedient to God's call. And we should know how to answer people. This is really hard, but it does mean that we have to do some research and thinking. And if, like me, you prefer to leave the big issues to other people to thrash out, then this section you'll find really difficult. We can't explain to people our thinking on euthanasia if we haven't given it any thought. We can roll out what other people have said about it, but once people start questioning us, we'll flounder because we don't really know where those reasonings come from. We need to understand the standpoint for ourselves. I know this is particularly hard, especially for those who don't think highly of themselves or of their own intellectual ability. But the whole point of this is that we don't do these things in our own strength. We're to be reliant on the Holy Spirit and trust that he will give us the right words at the right time. But it's like people that are entering, you know, doing an exam and they say, oh, please pray for me. Well, you can pray till you're blue in the face, but if they haven't done any work, they're not going to pass the exam. Yes, we can pray that, you know, they'll be able to recall what they're doing. Yes, we can pray for peace. Yes, it's right to pray for them. I'm not saying that. But you can't not do anything and ask somebody to pray for you and expect to walk an exam. It just doesn't work. And similarly, we can rely on the Holy Spirit. We should rely on the Holy Spirit, but he can only recall to our minds those things that we've already got in there. He can help us to put it together, but it needs to be in there in the first place. But I also believe that this is the purpose of being part of a body, because some of those issues are probably way past what we ourselves can think about and understand, but there are other people within the body who do. And by conversations with them, they will help us to come to an understanding ourselves about issues. And also, I believe that God leads us into opportunities that are right for us. And so he'll open up an opportunity with somebody where there will be something in common, generally, something that we can begin to talk about, similar experiences maybe that we've experienced. Some of us have been reading a book that belongs to Margaret called 90 Minutes of Heaven, and in there there's a man who for 90 minutes literally died, and he shares his experiences with other people, but not so much that experience of heaven, although that's part of it, but of all the medical work that had to be done on him and the appliances that he had to use particularly. And it was because he'd been there that he could explain to other people and give them hope. So God uses the experiences that we've had as a means of helping other people and to share about God and Jesus in that. But there is one thing that all of us need to understand, and that is, and there's no excuse for not doing this, and that is understanding what we believe and why, the basics of our faith, the fundamental doctrine of the Christian faith should be understood and able to be explained by every Christian. Not in the deep doctrinal issues, but why Jesus came, how he saves us and delivers us from sin, resurrection, ascension into heaven, the Holy Spirit. If you have difficulty with those things, then please see one of the ministers. We can help you with that. But unless you understand the fundamentals of the Christian faith, then you're not able to access all that Jesus has for us, and certainly not able to explain it to other people. Because if we can't explain what we believe and why, you know, if it's just something, well, I was taught it, but I don't really understand it, that's not faith. That's just going along a blind assurance of what somebody else has said. How are we going to be able to lead somebody else to faith if we don't understand that faith for ourselves? Now, you might be sat there and thinking, well, good heavens, she said she'd nearly finished, but what's all this got to do with our spiritual home for the community? Well, as I said at the beginning, a home is built by hearts. And in this case, a spiritual home is built by hearts that are turned over to God. And if we're not right with God, then we will not be able to build a home that enables others to find faith in Jesus. Our attitudes to people, people pick up on them. And they think, well, if that's what a Christian's all about, I don't want to be part of that. So it's important that we are right ourselves. I said earlier that a lot of things have come to my attention this month. And I was reading a People's Friend the other day and I read this. Anyone can make a nice house, but it takes someone really special to make a home. And another story that was about a daughter who'd come home to recover from a bad cold and a bird that had got separated from the flock, stranded in the snow. The story said this, because that, she realised, was what home was. It might not be big, it might not be grand, but it was comfortable and a haven for those who needed it. Someone else seeking a haven would soon be glad of their home. My prayer is that this local body of Christ will be a spiritual haven for those who need it. Somewhere where they can be loved and cared for. Someone where they will hear the gospel of Christ preached, talked about and lived. Somewhere where they can feel free to ask questions, receive healing, be comforted, supported, strengthened and renewed. This is my prayer. But of course that doesn't all happen in this building. Derek gave me this the other day. He doesn't normally buy me presents. It was specifically for this service, I'll hasten to add. And now you're probably thinking, well, okay, home sweet home, and it's all about home, but what's it all about? Well, if you open the door of his... find... tail stuck in there. You find that home is within him. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is within you." All that I've been talking about hasn't really been just here. What I've been talking about is what everyone who is in the kingdom takes with them where they go. One day, those who put their faith and trust in the redeeming work of Christ on the cross of Calvary will go to heaven to be with him forever. But until that time, where they are, the kingdom is. They take the kingdom with them where they are. And others may know the blessing of the kingdom near them. So if you have put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are taking the kingdom of God when you go to work, when you're at home, when you're in the shop, wherever you are. You are part of the kingdom of God. And you are taking that. And the blessings of that are available to those whom you are in touch with. That's a tremendous responsibility. But it's one that God has entrusted to us because he believes in us. He's called us to work with him. It's not something that we do in our own strength. It's something that he wants to do with us, to be partners with us, to share. And that's why I believe God has placed us here in this community. Better move him from there because he sat on the clock. We're called to be the people of God in this community. May God equip, direct, and open up the opportunities for us to share his love with others. And may he give us the ability to share the good news of the gospel in a way that is effective and understandable to all. May the body of Christ here be a fellowship that is genuine. Not just words, but genuine, loving, caring, creating a haven for those in need of rest, recovery and healing. And may the ministries here enable people to grow in their faith, to be equipped for service, and to take up their own rightful place within the body of Christ. Amen.